Amaranth Falls, Chapter 1, Stranger in a Strange Land. I awoke to an unfamiliar ceiling and cursed. I suppose I may have simply deluded myself. I had hoped, with the amount of effort I put into my original disappearance, that they wouldn't find me. After all, I had spent over a year planning it out. Naturally, I'd start by faking my death in a spectacular, yet admittedly inordinate fashion by blowing up my ship, the Isekai. By the time the first recordings surfaced on every form of media imaginable, I was in for plastic surgery, the kind that every girl in the solar system indulged in. Well, every girl other than me. I suppose losing your own ugly, scarred mug isn't the end of the world, but damn it. It was almost worse than destroying the Isekai, my pride and joy. Not to mention the prize of collection of scars and, they were like my accumulated trophies from tromping around the system, losing them. I really thought it had worked, too. An entire year with her, of sleeping in the same place every night, of stability, not having to check door seals for any flaw where a little cloud of death could slip in. I was positive that my efforts were flawless, that total displacement of body, prints, and IDs would have let me slink out of the field undetected. But nobody ever did, and I was no exception. Especially with my stacks of debts and favors I'd built up over the years. I knew I'd never truly pay them back. So I savored every day with her, drinking it in. The soporific job I held in a bottom alley ramen bar was just fine when I went home to her. I guess I knew one day I was going to lose it all. Hell, it only took them, what, a year and some change to find me? Whomever they were most certainly well-funded. The list of those who wanted me in one piece as well as having enough money to capture me wasn't very long. Let's see. Could have been the House of Aphrodite, the Yakuza, or maybe the Martian mob. Any one of whom could have done it. But this didn't really strike me as their style. Since I'd woken up with my own mind and body intact, well, at least on cursory inspection, I started to get a bearing on my cage. From the moment I woke, I noticed a pungent floral scent in the room. The slick coolness of the sheets was odd. Were they? Latex. The room's layout was simple, while its furnishings were quite the opposite. Expensive marbled white walls, Venusian quartz flooring with streaks of luminescence throughout. A large velvety white rug and pastel pink curtains covered a floor-to-ceiling window. The overall style seemed reminiscent of a casino's high roller room. The door was opposite the window, made of crafted chestnut, the grains flinted with gold. It was definitely airtight, though, on closer inspection. Hidden seals and actuators making it clear I was trapped behind an airlock without access to the controls. I was almost certain that I wasn't on Mars or Earth, since they had breathable atmospheres. One wall seemed to be concealed storage. Well, I suppose if death was on the menu today, I wouldn't take it lying down. So I stood up and began to walk around. Walked over to the window, an itching feeling told me that I was going to hate the view outside. Well, I've never been one to resist my own nasty gut feelings. I opened the curtains. Fuck. I descended into a rather unmentionable string of curses and, well, I knew who had me, of all the fucking places, of all the fucking people. A view I'd never thought I'd have the honor of enjoying again. Almost wish it had been the House of Aphrodite. They didn't bother with exposition, just rewrote your mind. You'd never know what happened, going on as a happy little puppet. It just had to be fucking Jupiter. Chapter 2. Temple of Jupiter. I was in the residence of the Princess of Jupiter, Mara Orion MacArthur, heiress of the most influential corp crime syndicate pairing ever. Her family had dominated the mining of the asteroid belt in Jupiter after wresting control from Terra 30 years ago. Her family stole one of the solar system's crown jewels, Jupiter. Her family was power incarnate, and she'd been next in line for the throne. Ugh, my view overlooked the princess's gardens inside her space habitat, Calcifer. Hollow, 5 kilometers long, pressurized and accelerated to a constant spin, simulating artificial gravity. The facility would be recognizable to astro architects from Terra to the Kuiper Belt as an O'Neill cylinder. It was constructed through the genius use of a counterweight by employing an asteroid of matching density attached via numerous carbon nanotube cables. However, Calcifer disregarded the standard construction of such a habitat by having half the surface area of its interior be a viewport rather than small window strips. The station had one other rather unique trait owing to its design. It was tidally locked at Jupiter's southern pole, hanging suspended above it, aligned with the planet's axis, giving one the impression the sky was made up of the roiling orange and yellow clouds of Jupiter. Her massive palace formed a ring of ornate structures around the end cap. It was the only thing inside the habitat that spanned the full circumference of the interior surface of the ridiculous cylinder. All the other construction was stopped by the viewport making up half of the interior surface area. The gravity-defying structure was a kaleidoscopic architectural nightmare. Access lifts crisscrossed the ring and overlapping lattices connecting spires and suspended rails, expediting transit throughout the mad palace. All the buildings were made of natural materials, marble, Martian sandstone, sheets of sapphire glass, and even wood. A palace truly fit for Olympus. I couldn't see any of this, really, as I was in the palace looking down the tree-covered valley towards the city that filled one side of the cylinder. Calcifer was a unique habitat. It was arrogant, spinning in the face of physics just for the aesthetic. A few well-placed explosive devices on the cables and the centrifugal force would tear Calcifer asunder. To build a structure that was meant to rotate fast enough to create artificial gravity, and then cut out half of the balancing material and bandage it back together with a counterweight, was a fucking stupid decision. An engineering nightmare that certainly aligned the pocketbooks of some enterprising electron pushers. However, the entire area around Jupiter was locked down tighter than a ship during decompression drills. Any ship which even got close enough to consider taking a run at them was searched, even seized if they carried as much as a bad attitude. Family ran their empire of business rather judiciously, writing the rules as they saw fit. Abandon all hope, ye who enter here. The childhood video game dungeon flashed through my mind. I almost laughed out loud at the hopelessness of the situation, but I wasn't going to let Mara know how fucked I felt. I would never see Beatrice again. My darling Beatrice. She would have noticed pretty quick if I didn't show up after a day or so. Hell, just to get here on a high-burn ship with no budget constraints would have taken a few days at least. She would know I was missing by now. Amareth, it's good to see you again after such a long time. I do hope you find the room to be satisfactory. I'm sure it's superior to the wretched hovel my girls dredged you out of on Luna. I whirled, readying myself to strike, but the room was still empty. I surmised it must have been a hidden speaker or something. Shouldn't I be dead, Mara? Because I'm pretty fucking sure that's what you said last time I saw you. A soft sigh whispered through the room. I suppose I've grown fond of you, Amareth. I scoffed. You have always been an exhilarating thorn, a most notable little problem. I can't resist a lady who has the gumption to assassinate my brother. You did save me the trouble, after all, even if it was rather untimely. Oh, well then, why don't you thank me for the favor and see me on my way? I retorted angrily. She laughed, if one could call it a laugh. Mara sounded like the Great Sphinx of Giza searching for a mate. Come now, dear. You know I have to thank you for the favor. It's about time I collected on you in full. I know you wanted to slip into a storybook ending with your darling Beatrice, but after you cut down Richard in such an untimely manner, I wasn't going to allow a meddling merc miring my plans to go unchecked. I could envision the bitch's shit-eating grin. She was as smug as a fat cat with a mouse. I was done letting her toy with me. Damn it, she might have me boxed like a brand new doll, but I didn't have to play right into her twisted games. I still had some shred of dignity she couldn't claw away. What? Getting rid of Dick didn't leave Daddy satisfied? Oh, well, I hope our next meeting finds you a bit more conducive to pleasant conversation, darling. But as I'm sure you know, I'm an inordinately busy woman, and I must attend to my business. Can't be letting a toy rule my schedule, dear. I am not. Before I could retort, she cut me off. I'll leave you in the care of my pet AI, Sylphie. With a faint click, she was gone. Damn that bitch. Damn her self-inflated ego. She appalled me. It was at that moment that I noticed something small flitting into my view, a slight, ghostly figure, about 9 inches tall, looking for all the world a cute, impish girl with a cherubic smile, adorned with, of all the things, iridescent fairy wings. She wore a pink and white jumper skirt paired with, like, frilled blouse, stainy little pink flats secured with ankle straps to her stockinged feet. Oh no. I'd heard of Augment AI. Some people had simple ones planted for management and scheduling, just thinking about what he needed and they would make it happen. I had always avoided them, just couldn't stand the idea of sharing my brain with a digital secretary. Having your thoughts read by a frelling AI. No thanks. She spoke whilst pouting. No, miss, that's not a very nice thing to think about me. I haven't even gotten the chance to introduce myself. Her voice was obsequious, the perfect servant. I'm Sylphie, and I'm here to introduce you into the mistress's household. This was a bad day, a horrid day. In a lilting tone, she replied to my thoughts. Come now, Amareth. Just give me a chance. I'll help you see. This won't be tough for you or me. She flitted up to my eye level. You're the opposite of helpful. You're intrusive. To hell with this. I tried every command to my augs in short succession. Not even my final oral option worked as I bit down on my tooth. Silly. You know Mistress wouldn't leave any chance of harm coming to her newest acquisition, said Sylphie. I knew she wouldn't. I wish they'd missed my final friend. I'd hoped that such a low-tech poison tooth might have been missed. I'd rather be dead than Mara's property. Sylphie tutted. I think you'll come to appreciate your new status over death, Amareth. What is my status? Prisoner? Hostage? Slave? I asked. The little avatar spun up into the air, seeming about to burst with joy. Sylphie continued her aerial antics, laughing. Silly girl, you're to become a maid for my mistress. She somehow managed to sound increasingly cloying every time she spoke. I puffed up as best I could, speaking with resolve. I won't serve her. You're going to have to kill me or turn me into a pup woman. Sylphie didn't seem even remotely surprised, instead pulling out a small wand and tapping the air in front of her, where she hovered. A screen burst forth from the spark of light hovering into my view. Incensed by what the scene displayed in front of me, I had to hold back the urge to just scream into her face. Fuck you. If that feed is real, I'll delete your fucking source code and kill your mistress for this, if you so much as fucking lay a hand on her. For the first time, I felt truly helpless as my last hope for At least Beatrice being safe died. Sylphie suppressed a titter and then said,
Silly Amareth, you know you're not in charge and you can do nothing. So if you want her to continue life still intact and unbothered, you will comply with Mistress's orders.
Dirty, filthy, nasty, immoral, and abjectly criminal. In my day, I had done them all to survive. I'd never even taken life without remorse. And yet, somehow, this was different. I had never taken someone's family as a hostage.
Her voice cut into my guilty recollection. She said,
Yes, you have done some rather regretful things, haven't you? Nasty work, wasn't it, Amareth? You should be grateful, as Mistress has never been kind to former adversaries. You're the first one to have a choice in their survival.
It was most uncharacteristic for an AI to waste time with unneeded banter.
Enough. You must dress and ready yourself for Mistress. I will guide you through as you finish your augmentation.
My heart stopped. What had they done to my body?